The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here is David Littlejohn with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey gang, welcome to True Wealth. As you can tell by my voice, this is not Dave Littlejohn. This is Justin Bruggeman, and I'm here with
Matt Dixon.
If you can't tell, David is not in town today. He is out hiking, which may be getting his zen on or whatever he's doing, but I'm glad he's able to finally take a break for a little bit.
He actually just texted me, so I think if he has enough cell phone service, he's also probably listening to us right now.
Whoa. Well, we'll see how this goes. Me and Matt are going to do our best to cover for David. We do miss him. We can't wait for him to come back, but he...
It's true.
Only twisted our arms a little bit to come cover for him.
Yeah, but we're happy to be here.
We had a little bit of a choice. So we're going to speak a little bit about, it's one of my favorite topics, of the financial planning aspect that is also subjective but can relate to everybody, and that is the budget. And when we're talking about a budget, they have these rules that you can kind of think about, which I have a golden rule, which, Matt, what do you think that might be?
I'm going to say it's your 50-30-20 rule. You've talked about it before.
I have talked about it, but the big rule is spend less than you make.
Ah, okay.
Because it is really hard to progress through life if you're constantly spending more than you take home.
It's true.
So this 50-30-20 rule that Matt kind of spoke of, that we've been talked about, it's just a basic financial plan for, you have income, you have expenses, you have needs, you have wants, and you also need to be saving also in that process. One, so you can retire, and two, so that if things don't go as planned, you have excess cash flow on the side to be able to pay for this, for like emergency fund or things like that. The car breaks down. So the 50-30-20 rule, which I did not make this up, I'm not even sure who did, and I'm not taking any sort of credit for it.
But it's a good rule, so I think it's worth talking about.
It is a good rule. And so when I say 50-30-20, what we're talking about in the financial planning and the budget world is, if you get your paycheck, which you've already paid taxes, insurance, things like that, pre-tax that is available pre-tax, and then you have your take-home income or your after-tax income. The 50-30-20 rule works like this. 50% of your income should go to your needs. 30% of your income should go to your wants. And 20% of your income should go to savings. And savings could be the bank account, building up an emergency fund, retirement savings, college savings, but there's always a factor, which it can be adjusted as well. This is a very subjective and broad topic and even broad numbers. So when we say 50% needs to be your needs, what do we think that means as a listener, or even Matt, we're just sitting here talking, what is the needs that we need in life?
I feel like a big one is your mortgage or your rent.
That would be a very huge one.
We got to pay the bills. We got to have someplace to sleep at night.
And you got to have electricity. You got to have, which they wrap into this, minimum debt payments, which we can kind of circle back to that. Is the needs are what you need to get through every single month of your life. So you need food.
Yep.
You need electricity.
I feel like you need a car as well. You've got to have some transportation.
I definitely think we do, especially where we live.
Yeah.
In rural Oregon. Like,
there's
I don't
snow.
Even,
like, we can't be trekking through the snow.
Well, and I don't even know what the public transportation is really like here. I've never used it.
Yeah.
I mean, we just recently moved out to Dillard, so I know that there's not public transportation from there to Roseburg. So you have to have not only a car, but a dependable one as well.
Yeah.
But it also has to fit inside of your budget.
That's a big piece.
And if you extend your needs and you even mix them with wants, it's got to, if your needs extend past what they need to be, then something else has to give. So either your wants have to give or your savings have to give.
Yeah.
And what would probably be the most common thing that gives first?
Hopefully the wants. Hopefully you're not tapping into the savings instead.
But let's be real here.
Yeah.
It's always the savings is what it
for most people. Yeah, it's the savings.
And also when you're looking at needs, the needs is the mortgage, the car payment, the insurance, property tax, utilities, electricity, minimum debt payments, groceries. But also as you progress in life, your needs change.
That's true.
And I can specify a lot with this for even me personally, is my needs 10 years ago were a lot different than my needs are now.
Yeah. I mean, you're married now, so your life insurance needs are changing. You know, you've got to be able to protect a spouse and, you know, in the event that something happens. So there's a lot of changes.
It does. And the biggest thing that I change is, we can both relate to this, is, well, I'm very a recent homeowner.
Yes.
And that changes things tremendously.
Square footage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And time. And it's also changing things that needs versus wants is, I want everything, which I was even just talking to Matt before we even came, is I went by Home Depot during lunch today and I'm just looking around. There's a lot of things I want, but my strain for debating on whether I need it.
It's a fine line. It's a very, very fine line.
It is a very fine line.
Because sometimes those tools really save us a ton of time.
They do.
I mean, if you're out there with a toothbrush scrubbing your driveway, you might as well just go get the pressure washer, right?
You're not allowed to bring up pressure washer to me right now. We were just talking about
your wife's going to hunt me down after the show.
Right. And also, he's even being married, which I'm just recently newly married. So a shout out to my wife, Samantha, for putting up with me. But also, my needs, well, as being married, needs as a married couple aren't specific to one person. It's a combined need. So that changes as well.
Yeah, elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, it's the things that necessarily I think I need versus what she needs, and what we need as a couple has changed.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I needed a brand new golf driver. I thought I did, at least. But do I really need that? No.
See, for you, I don't know if I'd put golf in the wants category. I feel like you need golf. Like, you eat, sleep, and breathe golf. It's in your blood. So can we just, like, scoot that over to the needs column?
Well, we can talk to my wife about it later. It's probably not going to happen that way. But it really has changed for what we need. Like, we need new fence. We had our heat pump go out during when it was 115 degrees. That is 100% need.
Yes. You got to be able to sleep at night, right?
Yes. And so when we're looking at this from the financial aspect, which in this we go through with clients all the time, and it's never a perfect rule. This 50, 30, 20 rule is a great starting point. And it's also a learning point too, especially as they don't teach this stuff in high school.
That's true. And a lot of people never take the time to actually pencil it out. So I'm going to encourage all of our listeners really to, you know, sharpen the pencil, get a piece of paper, and just put these numbers down on paper. You would be surprised how much money you might be putting into one area versus another, and how a small little change can save you a ton of money, especially towards that savings category, which we'll get to later. But pencil it out.
I am going to ask you, Matt, when's the last time you did it?
I did. I did this a couple months ago, and it was on a fluke. I saw some Dave Ramsey thing on YouTube, and I was like, hey, I actually wonder what I'm spending here. And my wife and I both kind of filled some stuff out, looked at it. We found a couple areas where we were way overspending, and we tightened that down, and it actually did make a good impact.
Well, I'm going to give you credit, a lot of credit
Thank you.
On that.
Thank you.
Because I'm going to go the opposite way is I have not, and I don't.
Does your wife drink coffee?
Yes.
Does she stop at the coffee stand and get her coffees?
No, I make her coffee every single morning.
You're a good husband. You're a good husband.
Except on the weekends, I sometimes go and get her coffee. But she balances more of this stuff than I do, which is very bad as a position. Is I am a financial advisor, which I'm going to roll back to the those who can't do teach, I guess.
Okay.
She is much better with that stuff than I am.
Okay.
And when, especially as couples, and this is something I've heard Wes says that works in our office too, is when you're married and you have two people working together, you usually have one of them is usually a spender and one of them is usually a saver.
Interesting.
Or a mix of both.
So what about you? Who's the spender? Who's the saver?
I am 100% the spender.
Okay.
I love cash so much that I can't carry it because I enjoy giving it to everybody else for some reason. I do not carry cash at all. I play in like Friday night scrambles at Stewart Park. And I go and I ask my wife for cash because I don't ever carry cash because she always holds the cash. And if I win money, it goes right back into her purse right when I get home.
As a kid, were you the one that had like the piggy bank that would only last a month before you got the hammer out, smashed it, and took the cash?
I don't even know what you're talking about. What's a piggy bank? My children have piggy banks. We put money in them. I don't know if there's still money in them or not, but if they're not, then I don't know where they're spending the money. And so this really just wraps in it. Also is the needs is the car also is what, the car payment is one that is a need.
Yeah.
But it's also is you can overspend that need.
Yeah. And I'd encourage the listeners to go to the Little John FS website and check out the car payment. There's like a calculator on there.
Yeah.
And it's going to go through and it's going to show you how much you can afford. I actually just sent this link to someone today because, you know, you can put in a ton of different stuff, the trade-in value, the interest rates, what you want to pay each month, and it's going to give you a projection of how much you can actually spend on a car.
And even how much you should spend on
yeah.
a car is even
yes.
could be the bigger one. So if you're working in this 50-30-20 rule and say your take-home after-tax income is $5,000, that means your needs category that has all the mortgage, the car payment, the insurance, the groceries is $2,500. That's 50% of $5,000.
Yeah.
So if you're extending above that because of a car payment by $100, then maybe you need to scale back what you're willing to pay for it and see what you can afford. Maybe
yeah.
it doesn't need to be a 2021 Dodge, you know, $3,500 or whatever. Maybe it needs to scale back to a $2,500 for that matter.
There, yeah, it's something to it's worth looking into. Playing with the numbers.
It really is. And it's one of those is if you have questions, if you're not sure, ask for help.
Who do they ask for help?
Well, they could always ask us.
Yes.
We answer questions like these on the daily. And if it's ever a question where you're not sure, you can always contact our office, 541-375-0898.
Perfect.
Hope I got that right.
I think you did.
Or on our website at littlejohnfs.com. And we're always happy to answer any of those type of questions that you may have.
Are we headed to break? I think we have an obscene profit break coming up.
I think we do. Oh, that's the ticker. So you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN. This is Justin Bruggeman
and Matt Dixon.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back, gang. Sorry. Still getting used to this side of the...
The transitions aren't easy.
Right. We're getting there. We're getting it figured out.
By the end of the show, we're going to have it down, but then David will be back, so...
And then we'll figure it out next time he's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Those who are just tuning in, we were talking a little bit about the 50-30-20 rule, which is very... easy to understand. It's your after-tax income. 50% goes to your needs, 30% goes to your wants, and 20% goes to savings.
It's simple, but it's overlooked, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Very much overlooked. But the biggest one that is overlooked is...
savings.
100%.
Which people want to just ignore it. They want to go spend that money or, you know, buy what they want.
And this number gets a little tricky also, too, when we're looking at the 20% of the after-tax income. And why is that?
Because, it varies with your age. Right now, I need to be saving a ton. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, when I'm getting older and I'm closer to retirement, I need to go spend that money. And I need to take that vacation to Europe that my wife is always talking about. Let's go for the cruise.
Just go.
Do it now.
And even with that 20% also is... So if you made a contribution to your 401k, that's coming pre-tax.
Ooh.
So you, or your simple plan or your set plan, or you're making contributions to a traditional IRA as well. These are all pre-tax contributions. And we're talking about after-tax contributions.
Yeah.
So this is where it could, in quotation marks, you can shift this savings number a little bit. I mean, the general rule of thumb is to save between 10 to 15% for retirement.
And then there's also the emergency fund, right? And I believe the rule there is like 3 to 6 months that you need to have saved up.
This is the emergency fund by far is the most important to me.
Oh, yeah. Stuff because happens. Life happens.
Stuff does happen. And especially through times that we've been through the last 2 years is... people have lost jobs. People have had to switch jobs. Daycare is almost impossible to find.
I saw a statistic, and it said that less than half the people in the U.S. actually have that emergency fund.
Which is scary.
It is.
Think about how many things... life just happens.
Do you got any examples of just crazy stuff that happens?
I actually do. Recently... me and my daughter got into a four-wheeler accident, and we spent 6 weeks in Portland.
You guys weren't even going very fast, were you?
No, we're going very slow. It was a kind of a freak accident. I was driving. It was all on me. She is doing great now, amazing, full recovery. But it was a freak kind of accident. I'm very thankful for the company and David because I was able to work remote and do type of things. But it was a very unexpected when you have a life flight to Portland.
Yeah.
Which, crazy as it sounds, a life flight from Portland or Roseburg to Portland costs $102,000.
Get the life flight insurance. That goes back up to the needs. Like, right. Insurance is in that needs category. You need that insurance.
I will never complain about the cost of insurance for the rest of my life.
Right.
After seeing all these bills. But these are unexpected things, as even the heat pump going out when it's hot. These are things that, so you don't have to go hit a credit card that's going to be 16 to 25% or even 10 to 25% interest. That's really going to bury you for the next couple of years. That's probably a bad term. Set you back for the next couple of years.
Yeah, that debt can really tie our hands up.
And it the cost of debt is... it's insane. And so that's why if you stick to these rules and don't spend outside of what you're bringing in, it really does make a huge difference for your retirement savings, your emergency fund savings.
And it changes the way that we can handle those needs too. Mm-hmm. Like my wife, she needed a car. She needed something with air conditioning. And We had money. Oh, David just showed up in studio. He's in his hiking gear, his hiking boots, and he's taking the guest mic. He's going to steal the show.
How far did you run to get here to save us?
We must have been botching it for him to come down off the mountain.
You gotta push a button on the board.
There he is. Now his microphone's
live. You guys
are
doing awesome. No, I was just, it rained on us. We weren't expecting it. So we cut a day off the trip, and I heard you guys, you're doing awesome. No, I just like, you know what? I'm going to come say hey. So, because I can. But no, carry on. You prepped the show. You're doing great. And I'm agreeing with you so far.
I'm done now. You're here. I'm out.
He's here for liability purposes. We're about to drop it. He knows it. He could sense it.
Not a chance. You're doing great.
No, but I think now. I was talking about that piece there with where our savings transfer over into the needs category. Like, we needed a car, but we had enough cash set aside. A good deal came up, and we were able to just jump on it. We didn't have to worry about the financing. We didn't have to worry about, you know, coming up with those funds, and it solved a problem immediately. We didn't have to worry about it.
And that's amazing, because if you look at this, if your needs shift back on the spectrum,
yeah,
that changes the game. If your needs are only 30% of your income, then your wants or your savings can increase tremendously.
It's true.
And you might even be able to retire earlier, hopefully.
Ooh, everyone wants that, right?
I can't even sit here. How was hiking? I have to know.
That's great.
It's driving me crazy.
It's great. No, I mean, it's a great hike, but it was, you know, it was really hot the first day.
Where did you go?
So we went up to Bobby Moore Lake.
I don't even know where that is.
So kind of go up Highway 58. I think it's Gold Lake Trail, and then we hiked into Bobby Moore Lake, spent the night there, and then we just hiked over to Waldo Lake and hiked around that whole area for a while. And then stayed out there, and then rain rolled in, which wasn't expected.
Were the fires a concern?
So that's why we were in that area. The fires were kind of on either side. Okay. It was relatively clear. There was more smoke than we had hoped for. Then it all got washed out, which was great, but we got washed out too.
Was this one of those camping trips where you don't bring the food, you just bring the fishing pole, and you expect to catch dinner, and then you
don't? No, this is not. No, this is a, you know, you pack everything you've got on your back, and away you go.
Nice.
So. But yeah, no. So the hiking was great. Now, I don't want to derail the show. You guys are just—I've never done the show with both of you in studio.
This is good.
I'm not here to step in. I love this—the discussion of the 50, 30, 20. Right. I mean, this is a real budgeting methodology. We've talked about it on the show before. I love that you're kind of exploring this with our listeners, and you're spot on about this whole want and need dichotomy.
Justin asked me a question earlier. He said, have you ever actually penciled it out? Because I was encouraging listeners to do this. I'm sure you have in your own personal life, right,
yeah,
David?
I have.
And what did you find anything that really stood out where you're like, whoa, I didn't expect this number to look like this. I need to, you know, move this around and balance this out.
Other than payroll.
Well, so now here's the cool thing. Now, and our listeners probably will expect this, right? That your finances are a maturing process. Just like we all grow in life, you're going to grow in your finances too. So depending on where you are at, the answer is going to look different. I can remember budgeting with my wife, and it just started by writing down everything. Just take an inventory of what you're spending. And I think a lot of people fail to account for a bunch of the little stuff they do. So like, you forget about pet food and magazine subscriptions, and like, oh, we have cable, but what about Netflix too? And oh, and then we got Hulu. Mm-hmm. Right. And before you know it, you've tacked on a few extra things and it sneaks up. And one thing you'll realize is, first of all, almost everybody has pork in their life. Right. Now, that's a political term of just the extra stuff that gets sort of thrown into the mix. But that is pretty real.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of extra. And so that was a really interesting thing to me. The as your finances mature, it starts to take on a little bit different flavor, if you will. Because the goal should be to build your financial resources such that you're not trying to manage paycheck to paycheck, but rather event to event. And that means that you've sort of matured financially, and now you're starting to plan things like I talk to people about funding retirement plans and then ultimately developing passive income structures in your life.
Right.
Okay. And that's a way, if you're trying to really accumulate more wealth. A funny question the other night from some folks saying, somebody asked, what kind of job do you need to buy a $43 million house in Lake Tahoe? Apparently they'd seen a $43 million house somewhere.
Jeez.
And, you know, I chuckled as saying, well, is this a rhetorical question or do you want the answer? And they wanted the answer, so we unpacked it from there. And the person that buys a $43 million house, first of all, seldom pays cash for it.
Right.
Right? They may, but that's not typically the reason they would do it, because real estate gets unique tax treatment because of the fact that you get to depreciate it. And so there are some tax benefits. So they're usually people that own lots of businesses that have typically businesses that have really high cash flow. So businesses with lots of customers, right? If you think about, like, why is Mark Zuckerberg a bazillionaire? Or Elon Musk? Or Jeff Bezos is the obvious one with Amazon.
Yeah.
Right? And it's because everybody listening, you've probably got Amazon. Like everybody. Amazon is ubiquitous.
Yes.
It's huge. Yeah. So if all that they make is like 2 pennies on every transaction, but they process millions of transactions per day, think about how much that adds up.
It's true.
And so we value Amazon as a company. Jeff Bezos owns 14% of it. He's worth almost $200 billion.
And is that $43 million home his first home or his second?
You can see it if you're down in Scottsdale.
No, this is the Jeff Bezos says, how many yachts do you buy?
Right.
Right? I mean, there are different reasons for that, too. It's because you need to have, if your finances become sophisticated enough, you are investing in more than just the stock market, more than just your retirement plans. Mm-hmm. And you are not just buying a rental property. You're buying a portfolio of rental properties. And you're not just buying residential properties. You're buying commercial properties in multiple locations. Right. It gets exotic. So there are places to put money.
And that $43 million place has more appeal because then you got to buy less places.
Well, it's the California beachfront theory, right?
Yeah.
Their premium locations are where wealthy people store value in a tax-protected manner.
Yes.
Okay, that's what those things are for. People look at them and think, oh, why would a house be worth that? It is worth that because of an elite store of value. All right? So anyway, different animal. But it's still a budget process, right? Believe it or not. Even super wealthy people, they just budget differently because, again, project to project as opposed to paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Yeah. Justin, is it time to take us to break for that obscene profit break?
It is definitely time for this. And this is True Wealth with Justin Bruggeman,
Matt Dixon,
and Dave Littlejohn.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back, gang. And we were just kind of wrapping up our savings conversation, and then David walked in and...
I'm allowed.
He's allowed. He's allowed.
Lock the door.
Right.
I can leave if you guys would rather.
We're just giving you a hard time.
I'm not even working the board today. I'm totally chilling in studio. It's the best.
Right. And we were talking about the savings, and Matt brought up was the different ways on how you can save in the savings, that 20% savings column. And we kind of did talk a little bit about your 401k savings. If you have a match, at least please do that.
Yes.
That's the free money thing. Yeah. Get the free money. If an employer has a match, the qualified financial advice that's, I don't even have to qualify it, is take free money.
And I've seen people turn it down. That's the thing that just blows me away. I've seen it a lot of times.
Yeah, I just can't figure that one out. Like, wait a minute. You could get 100% return on your investment right there, even if you were to put it in and then take it out and pay the penalties. You still have more. Like, duh. Exactly.
And for what about for, like, self-employed people? I mean, that haven't started a retirement account. There's different ways that they can tax shelter stuff. I mean, do we want to talk about that at all? That's another way to save. I mean, if you've got your own business and you're not putting anything into retirement, maybe you should. Maybe you should look at that.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to hijack what you guys have got going on here, but certainly there are lots of ways employers can they can utilize the tax rules to help. You know, you can invest just like a business owner is part of the business, so they can have a 401k plan as a business owner. Now you're matching yourself, so it's not like you're getting free money when it's the money that the business already earned, but you do get to navigate the tax structures, and it can be beneficial. This is where you hear about these companies that pay zero tax. That's not true, by the way. Corporations still, they just may pay zero income tax, right? If they distribute in the form of expenses and payroll and everything else, there are taxes that get paid, but they don't pay income tax. And so we kind of zero in on that. Like, I swear the conversation tax-wise in, like, most media sources is basically just income tax, right? That's all we talk about.
I've even heard that before. It's like, well, you can just write it off. Well, you still have to spend the money.
Yeah, and it's money you don't have afterwards. Like, make a tax-deductible donation. And it's like, it doesn't make it free. It means it's money left the business pocket or the person's pocket, and then they got some of what they donate will be tax. It comes out of their taxable income. So the tax savings will be, you know, it's like your dollar goes further, but it's not like it becomes a free event.
Right. And so even as self-employed, there is different options, a solo 401k, there's SEP IRAs, there's simple IRAs, and those change depending on personal circumstance. So if you ever have any questions about that, you can always come into our office.
Right.
And we can get you squared away, or at least send you where to go to get it done.
A lot of optimization in that category, right? I mean, when you think about business owners have different levers to pull than people that don't have a business. So for a lot of our listeners, in fact, sometimes some of the financial strategy is, hey, maybe you need to develop a side hustle where you have some self-employment income, because that gives you some different levers to pull tax-wise. It's just using the system as it is available to you, right? We don't advocate anything that they're not loopholes. There's nothing shady about what we're advocating.
The system's the same for everyone. Like,
right. It's not that. It's just that the system was designed because typically the way tax code is designed is to incentivize certain behaviors, right? So if the government wants people to invest in stuff, they may give accelerated depreciation so that people with the ability to buy things will go and buy them, so they can write them all off this year instead of amortizing them over multiple years. If you don't know what that means, that you don't have to become an expert listening to this show, but it means that part of a tax strategy is sometimes you buy something because you need it, and if you're able to deduct it against your income, it can lower your tax exposure, right? These are all things that happen in a healthy financial plan. But I'm gonna bring you back though. Your question was originally about savings, right? Like, how do people increase the savings rates? And I will tell you the simplest thing. I mean, we're talking about all these places you can save. That's sort of the equivalent of, I can make it a business expense, okay? But underneath all of that, there's this really simple concept, right?
Save it.
Yeah, pay yourself first, right? Yeah. So you have to budget your savings like you do all of the other things. And so that's why we like to assign jobs for our money.
Right.
Right. In financial planning, it's saying, well, each dollar has a responsibility in order to make your financial machine run. So some of it is reserves for the unforeseen. Some of it is for the subscription things in our lives that happen every, like, you're going to keep eating, right? So we have to have a budget where we keep having food again.
But there's ways to save on that too. Like,
there are.
Yeah. when I go to Safeway, I'm always saving at least 40% by just clipping the coupons before I go in, having a game plan.
Yep.
And that's money that can go right back into that savings account.
And see, and this is the savvy consumer goes a long way.
It's true.
Right? The savvy consumer thing.
If nothing else, just being a savvy consumer can take you a really long ways.
Right. And there is some form of diminishing marginal return on that, right?
Yeah, when you get into your time. Like
yeah.
How much time are you spending to save 5 cents?
But this is also where I talk about the growth path financially for folks. When you're paycheck to paycheck, your time is pretty maxed out, right? So you really, when you have the ability to go and maximize those benefits and clip the coupons and stretch things further, you're going to get a lot more benefit when you're getting started.
Right.
As your finances mature,
yeah,
and they really should, right? Your finances should mature, not just because you're saving, but because you should be gaining skills and becoming more valuable to the workplace. Or if you're self-employed, you should be working on your business and not just in it, so that you become a more savvy business owner. And so you should increase your capacity with experience and time if things are going properly, right? And so if that is the case, then at some point you may have enough going on that it's less valuable to invest the time in clipping the coupon than it is getting to the next project that's bigger.
Right.
Well said.
And that makes a lot of sense.
So what else is on your mind here? You guys got an outline,
no,
right?
No, we kind of did. I'm going to move on.
I came in here with an outline. I had to. I was ready to go.
In here with a book.
I did.
Let's be real.
Justin made me throw the book away.
I did.
Go with some
good
bullet
job.
Points.
Right.
So. But I feel good about that.
Our listeners are smart, and they've heard, you know, we've been on the air for years. They've heard a lot of this stuff, but what happens is sometimes you need to hear it now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If some of you are listening right now and you need to hear this again. It needs to either be confirmed, reinforced, or said in a different way. And you're going to have that aha moment of like, oh, yeah. Right. Because it's crazy. Now, what we do investment wise under the roof, that gets pretty sophisticated. You sit in on one of our investment committee meetings and you see what we're doing and you go like, oh, wow, there's some moving parts of that. Sure. But a lot of this stuff is blocking and tackling, right? But we don't teach it in school, and there's no good class where we're going to learn how to do this. So unless you had it modeled for you, or you went out and touched a hot stove and, you know, you got burned and you had to learn the hard way, how else do you figure this out?
And I think there's a lot of stuff that the listeners just forget to do. I mean, like, we were talking about insurance earlier. I mean, how many people have actually shopped their insurance rates in the last 2 or 3 years? I mean, car insurance, have you shopped the rate? That's something that we might just forget to do.
I don't, because I love my house. So.
Yeah, and so this is funny, because we're now going to, you guys ready to hear like a little, we didn't plan this on the radio. So my brother is my insurance agent. Now, that in and of itself is nepotistic, I get it.
It has benefits, though.
But what happens is when you have an agent that also has brokerage alliances,
he's
so that they can shop
a lot of different places
you. But here's what folks don't understand about insurance. Multi-line discounts exist where you get better rates because you are mixing and matching things, because the insurer is essentially getting a better risk profile from you when you have multiple things, right? How likely are you to crash your car and burn your house down at the same time?
Not very likely.
Right? So those tend to be, and by the way, how likely are you to do all of those and die and also have like an annuity contract have to go for the rest of your life?
Right.
They're naturally hedged. So insurance companies know that the Venn diagram, the intersect of the different policies, gives them more total premium from the relationship with the customer, but they don't get proportionately more risk. So it becomes more efficient for them to insure a multi-line customer. So there's, now it's not to suggest you shouldn't shop it, and you certainly should review your coverage, but that's part of the reason people will oftentimes work with a qualified agent, is they know how to package that stuff. The internet doesn't do that for you. You know, if you go get Geico or Liberty or something, I'm not saying those are bad organizations, but they don't do homeowners insurance. So you're on your own for something else.
Or they sub it out to someone else.
Which is still brokering it. And because they're different organizations, they don't do multi-line discount for that. Yeah. At least not to my knowledge.
And not to mention the level of service you get with your brother.
Oh, it's, you know, I get this is.
Does he ever like say, hey, I want you to switch to these guys. They're going to save you money. Does he?
Yeah, no, we go through and optimize stuff. And, you know, keep in mind, again, finance guy, you would expect that by now, after being in the industry for more than two decades, my finances are a little more complex than average. So we do a lot of stuff with insurance and. Yes, we go through and review coverage levels. There are environments where I have more coverage than average, other environments where I don't. And it just depends. But it's all about understanding the risk relationship.
Right.
So
I'm giving hand signals like, hey, I think it's time for
well,
a
there
break.
Well, there have been two, right? We've got to take the third.
We'll be right back after our break. You're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back, gang. We're going to continue this conversation about the 50-30-20 rule, and we're going to switch to my favorite part, the wants. The 30% of your income that should go to your wants that hopefully doesn't get overran by your needs. If you overrun wants by savings, that's okay, I think.
It'd be easy to finish this show with just a list of all of the things that we want. I've got a list. I want that new boat.
I have a ridiculously long list. And when I'm looking at even the wants is, even the needs, which this could be a good question for either one of you, outside of your mortgage, what is your biggest expense?
Well, I have three
minus
kids.
Minus business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if I don't count the business expenses, outside of the mortgage, probably I will just call it lifestyle with kids, like the activities and everything that we do that come with the family dynamic. And they are definitely wants over needs, but they're a high priority for my wife and I. You know, like our kids take piano lessons. Because we have a lot of reasons. One, my wife's a music teacher, right? She doesn't give the lessons, though. We give them lessons because, and I'm big on this too, right? It's a chance for them. It's a different form of brain development.
Right.
It's a, you know, dexterity, plus it's music's a form of language. There's lots of reasons for it.
Not a screen.
Yeah, and so there's lots of great reasons for it that kind of reinforce the education side of things. But it's a luxury item, right? If we couldn't afford to do that, then we shouldn't, right? People may try to justify it as like, well, it's for the children. Like, this is the one where parents that say they're going to pay for their kids' college and then they're not going to have a retirement plan.
Right.
And I go, you can borrow for education. You can't borrow for retirement. So, you know, if you don't put your mask on first, you put the kids' mask on first and die, then, you know, you leave them stranded, right?
Right.
You take care of yourself first, then you can help others.
Right. I think mine is food.
Mine is 100% food.
Yeah, I don't have a car payment, so it's got to be food. That's like $500 or $600 a month, I would think.
That's pretty cheap.
Well, it's just the two of us. So
yeah, I mean, our budget's more than that. Our food budget's pretty high, too.
Yeah.
But again, we have weird dynamics because it's really hard to separate me from the professional enterprises. Right, there's just a lot of overlap.
That's true. I could see like a little blend of that in there.
Yeah, I mean, like half of the breakfasts and lunches in my life are with clients.
Right.
Right.
There's a perk right there. Yeah, call the office. Get established with David. Go get some food
so he can eat lunch or breakfast.
I want to get in on that. Take me out to lunch.
even when I was looking at this, the needs, because groceries come into that, our food budget definitely overlaps between needs and wants.
Oh, yeah.
We are not people, like me and my wife are not people that, I can't plan out a week's worth of food. I go and get what I want that day, which gets extremely expensive.
And with the way that the grocery prices have gone up lately, I mean, it's extreme.
It's just so you know, statistically, not a great way to do it. Right. Oh. And I mean, these are little things like, but by planning things out, you don't do things as unintentionally. Right. And here's the next question. How often do you play with a card as opposed to cash?
We use cash for it. But it's also as if friends, families driving through, they'll call us and we're making dinner. We make enough for more people anyway.
Justin's right. Feeding the neighborhood.
Oh, yep. We could.
I need your address.
I know. It's a very Italian family here.
If things get shut down, we can't go to a grocery store, we're good for like a month.
Wow. That's impressive.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line at the end of it is that the wants versus the needs, I think you need to take a really good look internally and realize that writing the stuff down and planning it on purpose, that is, I think it's the intentionality is where the savings and the budgets work. If you are not intentional with your budgets, you can expect to have the unexpected things happen.
Yeah.
And so, if you need help with it,
yeah,
give the office a call.
Yeah. At 541-375-0898 or the website littlejohnfs.com. This is Justin.
We're out of time. Matt Dixon.
Yeah. Dave Littlejohn.
And thank you for listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.